This is the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying in bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hands on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise
you may be seated. So when Nat and I got married, almost 5 years ago in a few weeks, we decided to have our wedding here in Minnesota at the church where I grew up, and where I would be a part of the fifth generation in my family to get married there. But since we were living in Maine at the time, it meant that we got to have a road trip to Minnesota before our wedding and home from Minnesota afterward. On our way to Minnesota, we decided that even though the route we had decided to take was pretty self-explanatory, it's just lots of freeways, we decided we'd turn on an app called Waze. Has anyone used the app Waze before? No? A few people? That would route us along the quickest way, just in case. That's why how Waze is different than a different map app on your phone. It finds the quickest route and gets you there that way. So we did this because we had a lot of preparations to do and not a lot of time once we would get here. And somewhere in the middle of Pennsylvania, we were surprised to see that our directions were routing us off of I-80 and to take us on some back roads for a while. But sure enough, a few miles later, while we were on a side road next to the freeway, we could see a pileup of cars and the hours of stalled traffic that we would have been headed towards. In our gospel lesson for today, Mark writes that Jesus set out to the region of Tyre. Tyre is a region north of Nazareth and the Sea of Galilee, which he has just crossed in the narrative before today's story, and where Jesus has so far spent most of his time. Tyre is in one of the northernmost regions of Jesus' world, and was Gentile territory rather than Jewish territory. So even though he didn't want anyone to know he was there, one woman, when he arrived, we hear this morning about the one woman who had the audacity, or maybe it was the desperation, to enter into the house and beg him to heal her daughter. Initially, Jesus is caught off guard, and he does not respond very kindly to her. However, being called a dog didn't sway her from knowing that God's blessings were for her just as much as they were for anyone else. So why would Jesus do such a thing? Scholars and pastors have been trying to explain away Jesus' seemingly callous response for centuries. Maybe he was tired or frustrated, and that's what was shining through. He was human, after all. Or maybe he was testing her. Or maybe he was making a comical remark of sorts. What was really going on, we might not ever know. But what we do know is that this woman, this ethnic and religious outsider, knew how to love deeply, and her persistence and audacity had the power to reroute Jesus on the way he understood his ministry and his call from God. Immediately after this interaction, professors Matthew Skinner and Caroline Lewis point out on their podcast, their weekly podcast on the Working Preacher website, that Jesus goes back south to the Sea of Galilee by way of Sidon, which is actually further north of Tyre. Sidon is completely out of the way to the Decapolis, where he goes to next to heal the man that we read in the second part of our story. Jesus doesn't take the quickest and fastest route. He takes a roundabout route to a different Gentile territory before going to his next stop. Rather than ministering only to Jews, to familiar people with whom he shared history, understanding, ethnicity, and faith, the Syrophoenician woman, the woman audacious enough to demand that God's blessings are also for her, opens Jesus up, and his whole ministry is rerouted to include Gentiles, people of all sorts of backgrounds and religious identities and places of origin. The difference between Waze, the app we used to be rerouted on our drive to Minnesota from Maine, and Jesus is that when Jesus is rerouted, he usually goes right into the heart of suffering, right into the places where he isn't supposed to be, but where he is called to be. Jesus doesn't take the quickest or the easiest route. He takes the most important route, the route to which God calls him, no matter how long it takes. We, as a people on this planet, have come to know a few things about being rerouted lately. What we thought would be a two-week period of staying at home and felt like it was going to be an eternity has turned into almost 2 years of adjusting our expectations, our travels, our understanding of how we are connected to one another, and has resulted in a nightmare of fights and arguments over how to best protect one another and keep each other safe. These realities have caused some of us to rethink what we prioritize in our lives, or how we live in our homes, or what it looks like to connect with community, or how we care for the most vulnerable among us. We've all had to come face to face with our own mortality, with the demons that vie for our attention, and what we need and what we can do without. I think it's safe to say that we've all been laid bare a bit more, that we've all had to admit our vulnerability and how easily we can tire of challenging situations. The good news for us in the midst of all we've been through and all we will continue to endure is that Jesus knows a thing or two about being rerouted and enters into the challenge right alongside us. Jesus is with you in the challenges that you're experiencing because Jesus doesn't take the quickest or easiest routes. Jesus takes the routes that bring him right into the heart of suffering, into your suffering, into your neighbor's suffering, into the world's suffering. From meals with outcasts or aligning himself with the powerless or those deemed unclean, to traveling to way out of the way Gentile regions, and ultimately, as we know, to the cross. Jesus isn't on a mission of self-preservation and ease. He is on a mission of being opened to God's love in ways even he can't imagine or hasn't yet conceptualized. This is the way of Jesus, and it is also the way for us who claim Jesus as our Lord and who seek to live a life following his promises and examples. We too are always being invited to be opened up to God's love in ways we might not be able to conceptualize or imagine. We are always invited to be rerouted on our journey, to see anew the path to which God is calling us. So how are you being opened up or rerouted these days? How do the climate disasters of wildfires and hurricanes or floods open you up to shift the way you understand yourself and the world? How does the Delta variant and the continued research that shows vaccination is the most important collective defense that we have change the way that you relate to those you love who are skeptical of the vaccine? How has this period of time at home shifted the way you appreciate or relate to your community? How have we been opened up and rerouted as a faith community? Not just in the ways we've shifted how we do worship or gather in groups, but how have our priorities changed? How has our understanding of what it means to enter into the heart of suffering like Jesus does and Jesus calls us to do, how has that changed? As you contemplate these questions, as you continue to live into your opened up and rerouted life in another season, another school year, another program year here at church, I pray that God may bless you with the knowledge of God's presence. May God bless you with the courage to give into the opening and to the rerouting rather than resist it. May we not shy away from our suffering or the suffering of our neighbors and the world. Most importantly, may we resist the temptation of the quickest or easiest routes in favor of following the most faithful ones. Amen.
Oh.